Welcome to this edition of Inside the Program, brought to you by the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel. I'm your host, Justin Wells. With me, as always, Eric Nahlin. Hey, 24 hours, E. In 24 hours, we have a spring game. We have gone through all the spring practices, and now we get the actual nitty-gritty good stuff, weather permitting. Please, first off, like this video. Subscribe to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel. Help us keep climbing to get to that 7,000 mark. Also, come see us at InsideTexas.com. Use a promo code IT1 to get you 2 months of InsideTexas.com for only a dollar. That's 50 cents a month. There might be inflation, but not at Inside Texas. We're about deflation. We want to give the people what they need. Eric, let's just jump into it, man. This has been a fun spring. We've been killing it with the practice reports, and now we get to kind of dig into the fun stuff on Saturday, again, weather permitting. Let's go through this last practice yesterday and kind of just go through the positions and empty our notebook and on what we saw Thursday or rather we heard about Thursday and then basically what we want to see on Saturday. I'm going to start off with quarterback play. I'm going to hand it off to you. Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, Trey Owens, go.
Yeah, I mean, so we had a brand new bystander at practice yesterday, and you always love a fresh set of eyes. You know, you want – because you tend to hear the same things, the same biases if you have the same source over and over and over. So we had a fresh set of eyes yesterday. It was Letterman Day. And so, you know, we started to hear some things that were maybe a little bit different but very similar in some regards. What I love to hear about the quarterbacks was – that, yeah, you know, Arch and Quinn, they look pretty good, look pretty poised. But this guy said that Quinn was making throws, even against good coverage, that you're like, oh, there's nothing you can do about it. And now last time we saw the DBs, that was kind of the case with Michael Penix. But you'd love to hear about Quinn, who I think is about to take the next step and really blow up. I think a lot – I'm not alone in that assumption. But I really think that Quinn is about to take off and maybe be in the Heisman race, maybe be in competition for that, you know, top five draft pick next year. It looks like he's poised to make that move. But this bystander was really impressed by the throws he was making. And that kind of goes with what we've heard throughout spring.
And also of note, we don't expect Quinn Ewers to play a whole lot Saturday. Yeah. We think it'll be a couple series maybe, and then he's going to put on the headset and get a juice box.
It might just be one series. So if you're wearing your Quinn Ewers jersey tomorrow, you know, don't expect to see a whole lot of him. But that, you know, that's when once you have Sark's trust, you're not going to play a lot. That's it. You know, Jadae Barron has not had a very enthusiastic spring. He's just, you know, they're like, hey, he's like a coach on the field. And I think Quinn has that trust of Sark to where, you know, you're going to see a ton of Arch. Now, if you're an Arch Manning stan, that's fine. You're going to see a lot of him. It's not going to be indicative of anything other than the fact that Quinn Ewers is a starter on the team and he's had a good spring.
And I'm actually eager to see a little bit of a Trey Owens. We've heard some good stuff from sources in the program about Trey, and you know, we were always a big fan of him at Inside Texas. So I'm kind of eager to see what number 15 is going to do with the pill on Saturday.
A source yesterday said, you know, he's going to look a little mechanical, a little robotic at times, but he's going to make some throws that really catch you off guard and go, oh man, he's definitely got it. He's, you know, he's going to be a deer in headlights. He's just a true freshman. Remember last year where Arch looked like he was a deer in headlights. Sark stacked the deck against him. But yeah, Trey is going to make some throws that you're like, oh, okay, now you get it. But he's going to look like a freshman, but you'll see the talent tomorrow. I think we'll see a lot of Arch, and Arch is going to impress. Arch is going to do some things. You're like, oh, you forget that he's an athlete. He's an athlete. But again, you know, Quinn Ewers is the starter, but it's going to be fun. It'll add a new element to the spring game. I think getting to see so much of the future.
The running back position is next up, and that's a room that's got a lot of bodies. But it's really the Baxter and Blue show, or Blue and Baxter. I'm not real sure the order of that just yet. But those are the two guys that I think are your top-tier guys. Those guys are going to be sharing carries. I think we could see a lot of Trey Wisner on Saturday, and also Christian Clark and Jarrett Gibson. Kind of what are you hearing the last remnants of the running back room pre-spring game?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Jarrett Gibson got some carries with the twos earlier in the week. So I think we'll see a lot of him and Clark as well. He's not going to play Jaden Blue a ton. I don't think, you know, Jaden Blue is, and I think even Baxter is the same way, is they're kind of indispensable for what Sark wants to do in this upcoming season. So I do think we'll see a lot of Wisner. This is probably going to be a big time for him and he's going to flash for sure. But we'll see a lot of the freshmen, you know, it's a deep room. Talented room. They've had a good spring. The freshmen have impressed. They don't look like your typical freshmen, not just from a physical standpoint, but they're assertive in the run game. So I'm looking forward to seeing the running backs for sure.
Yeah, Gibson's yoked. That dude is big, man.
But yeah, I asked the buddy, I was like, you know, does he look big or does he play big? And he's like, no, he plays big. So that's what you want to hear, right? I mean, a lot of times muscles are for show, but you want it to effectuate downhill, you know, be assertive, run downhill with physicality. And he's been doing that. So that it's exciting to hear about Gibson.
There you go. And also it's going to give him, you know, durability. We've learned, you know, the heavier sometimes it tends to help them health-wise throughout the course of an entire season. Shifting to wide receiver, there's the usual suspects. Isaiah Bond, Jonte Cook, Ryan Wingo. This week, a couple sources told me DeAndre Moore and Matthew Golden had a good week this week. And so now you got five guys, and we know how Sark is with that short bench at wide receiver. Are those, in your mind, the five guys that we could probably expect in 2024? And are there any names that you can expect to maybe see a handful of plays from on Saturday?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised by a flash player, too, by Wingo. You know, Sark is Sark loves when he has these new offensive toys that he can use in the playbook. And he's been talking up Wingo a lot. So he's going to be like, well, I better cash this check and call some plays for Wingo. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see a whole lot of Bond. I've heard, you know, I had a long phone call yesterday, as you know, regarding Jonte Cook. And, you know, he's had a good spring, too. Everybody thinks he's right on time, poised for a big year. You know, I just think they're going to whip the ball around. A lot of guys are going to get a look at it. You know, we'll probably see some Parker Livingstone. It's a spring game, right? They're, you know, they're going to play a lot of the younger guys. The whole thing is going to be, hey, get the fans out. Let's have some fun. Let a lot of the younger guys that have worked a lot throughout spring, you know, get a chance to show what they can do. We're going to see the whole roster tomorrow for sure. I'm looking forward to Wingo. You know, you've talked about it in a couple breakdowns. But, yeah, I don't think we'll see a ton of Bond. I don't think the need is there. I don't think we'll see a ton of Golden. You know, I could be wrong. But, you know, it's a short bench, but it's a talented bench.
The beauty also, you said Sark likes to play with new toys. For guys like us, I like to have new nicknames for Twitter during game days. So we got Parker romancing the Livingstone.
Oh, great movie. Great movie.
And we've got Ryan Wingo on a prayer. And so I think we've got something to work with. We're like Sark. We like to be creative. We like to bite from others a little bit to make it our own. So tied in. Not a lot to say there. Gunnar Helm, Amari Nyblack, and everybody else. Any other notes or anything of interest you want to add to that?
You know, Juan Davis has had a really good spring. I don't want him to get lost in the shuffle. He's had his best spring. He's a talented receiver. I mean, you know, we saw it in his very first spring, I think, where he caught a ball over the middle and just shot upfield, and you could just see the burst. I mean, that athleticism is still there. So I want to see Juan, man. I'm a Juan Davis fan. I'm a fan of anybody that sticks in the program and waits their time. It shows a certain level of maturity. It shows a certain level of the school and the program. Hey, this is the place I want to be. So I'm hoping to see some Juan Davis. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a big play or two, because – you know, he's a legit talent that just hasn't really had his chance yet.
He definitely has that athleticism, and that's like you said. You know, any guy that sticks around, you got to like that, because he's working to keep that position, to keep that scholarship yearly. We're gonna finish with the offensive line, because that, to me, if that group keeps growing and maturing like they have over the last few years, that's gonna be one of your strengths in the program heading into the SEC the first year. The 10 spots is what they want to have down. You know, starting one left tackle to right tackle, then the starting twos. We think there's going to be about seven or eight guys that they're going to rely on. And so, you know, what are things you want, you know, without us really going into a depth chart, what are you wanting to see from like certain positions? Like for me, I want to see what Trevor Goosby looks like playing some left tackle and some right tackle, because it sounds like he's the number three guy behind Kelvin Banks and Cam Williams, at least at this moment. I'm curious to see that. What about you? What are you kind of looking for from that bunch?
Yeah, I just want to see those guys blow everybody off the ball. You know, if they're playing the first team defensive line or the second team defensive line, it'll probably be ones versus twos. You know, that Sark's not going to want to give us too much. Just blow everybody off the ball. You know, that's the force multiplier in the program outside of Quinn at quarterback in his third year is the offensive line. You know, that's going to make everything easier on the offense, you know, the run game, the passing game. Let's see them blow everybody off the ball with, give these talented running backs some space. And then I'll have confidence that, you know, the offense is going to do what we all expect it to do.
We're going to shift over to defense, and easily the most important spot on the team, on the defensive side, that's the defensive line. You've got Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton. You know what you have in those guys. After that, it muddies the water a little bit. There's definitely players there, but there's some things to be sorted out at this point, which is also going to be why we talk about the transfer portal here just in a minute, because defensive tackles are definitely something that they're going to go portal hunting for, and something we have talked about ad nauseum. You know, after Collins and Broughton, what are you wanting to see from this bunch? And if I hear the word run fits one more time in a practice report, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is, you know, we write these reports one after another, and the importance is that you have these themes. You know, everything that becomes a theme is something that you have to watch for going into the offseason, further into the offseason, and then in August we're going to watch it again. And then if we're starting to hear about it, if we're still hearing about it late in August going into September, you're like, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be something that they have to figure out on the field. So I'm not going to use that term that you don't want me to use, but, you know, that's something that we have to watch for sure. I think help is on the way via the portal. I'm not super scared about it. And I think also good coaching is going to be continued with Johnny Nansen and the linebackers. I think there's just I think Nansen is teaching the run fits a little differently than Choate did. And so I think there's a little bit of, you know, the linebackers are just getting used to his coaching style. I'm not worried about it. Everybody thinks Nansen's a stud coach. Detail oriented. He's going to get it figured out. The players are going to get it figured out. It's not something I'm worried about beyond defensive tackle. And then with defensive tackle, I'm not really worried about it because, you know, again, we cover the portal very closely.
And, you know, something that has been a positive note this spring has been the edge play. It's been the one spot that really Sark wanted to upgrade, and it seems that they've done that in spades. You got your usual suspects, Baron Sorrell, Ethan Burke. We've heard Trey Moore doing a lot of stuff. Colin Simmons. That's going to be a guy I think not only we want to see on Saturday, but fans really want to see, you know, donning that number 11. What is the edge spot? What do you want to see coming out, you know, from the spring game from that position?
Yeah, it's a team strength. You know, they were getting pass rush on Thursday. You know, the Letterman practice, you know, Joe Cook wrote some good notes about it, is that, you know, first, second team edges are getting a pass rush. It doesn't matter if they're going against first team offensive tackle, second team offensive tackle. You know, they're getting in the backfield. I feel good about that group. You know, I actually feel good about them against the run as well. I think that's actually going to help out the run fits. I don't want to say that, but right. You know, it boxes in the run. It makes it more predictable with the linebackers nowhere to go. They're, you know, the ball's going to funnel to certain places, predictable places. You want predictable run, not fits, but you want those predictable running lanes for the back seven to fill. I feel good about the edges. You know, they've had a really good spring, a lot of pass rush, good against the run. It's a mature group. It's a talented group. So I think that position is right on time. It's going to be a team strength.
Anthony Hill replaces Jalen Ford at Mike Backer. You got David Benda coming back for a sixth year. That's a locker room guy. That's a guy that's progressed a little bit, it feels like, every season. After that, you know, I'm hearing Leona LaFalle is a guy that we want to see.
Nobody ever mentions Maurice Blackwell. I don't understand it. There are three linebackers the way they look at it, and then Leonga. Now that they love Leonga, so I don't want to leave him out. Now,
I meant him as a backup to Hill.
Yeah, as a backup to Hill for sure. Yeah, Maurice is going to play a lot. They love Maurice. The energy, the physicality. He's got more size. Yeah, but you know, Bendis had a good spring. Anthony Hill's the best linebacker on the team. So. We have to get ready for this reality where, you know, he's probably a three-year player, very talented, you know, coachable. He just, you know, every practice he comes out a better player, and he's a stud talent. So that's exciting. That's what you want to hear. It's what we're hearing about a lot of these guys. Ryan Owingo, every practice he's better after it. You know, the quarterbacks, every practice they're better after it. So get this elite talent and develop them, and you start to have a really good team. Anthony Hill is part of that.
We can't forget about Blackwell. This is a kid that loves the Steve Miller Band, because when they say "Call me Maurice," that's when a guy comes out and he's ready to go.
That has to be one of the most overrated songs of all time.
Don't hold that against him, Texas fans. It's early. We're going to continue. I'm going to knock that. Let's go to cornerback, because we can't have that. We're going to go to cornerback Manny Muhammad. We got Gavin Holmes. We've got Terrence Brooks. You got the young ones. What are you looking for in that position? Because I feel like Manny Mahomes by the end of the season is going to be a top three or four player in this program.
Yeah. Muhammad's, he was the best player on the field last Saturday during that scrimmage. So yes. I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't the same case. I don't think, you know, some of these guys we're just not going to see a lot of. You know, we'll see Muhammad. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think that he's going to play a lot because, you know, what's the point? You know, he is already one of the top 10, 15 guys. Yeah. What's the point? And he doesn't need the reps because he's been training like a pro since he was a sophomore in high school. So it's not like he's a guy that you're like, hey, we need to see what he's going to do. Are on, you know, I mean, I've heard good things about Gavin Holmes. You know, people said that he's a better player than he was last year. Terrence Brooks, he's a good player as well. I'm looking forward to see the young guys, the freshmen. You know, they got a couple freshmen in the program. You know, let's see what they can do.
Give me some Kobe Black. Give me some Wardell Mack. Give me some redshirt freshman Warren Roberson, because we know this guy can make plays when they put him on the field.
Yeah, I should mention that. Yeah, Roberson was mentioned yesterday with a source I talked to. It said, you know, he had a quiet spring. It's like, no, you know, it's okay. Warren's doing better in the last few weeks. He's coming on. They love Warren. His upside is he's probably the most athletic DB in the program. And if you're the most athletic DB in a program like Texas, you're a legit athlete.
We'll see very little of Jahde Barron. How big has Jalen Gilbo been this spring at that nickel spot?
Yeah, I wouldn't just say the spring. You know, I always love these tidbits where, you know, and this goes back to like Quinn 2 years ago. We're like, oh, wow, the light's coming on for this guy. You led that charge. We're like, hey, look, you know, he's taking things a little bit more seriously. We've done that before with other guys. You know, we knew T'Vondre Sweat was turning over. And so with Jalen, and Sark mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, where it's like, hey, it's good to have you back. And, you know, there's a lot of negative space in our coverage, and not negative like we're negative towards the player. It's like there's just nothing there. We don't write about the guy for a long time. And when you do write about him, then that means that he's coming on. Like there's actually the light's on. This guy's serious. He's ready to go. And we were talking about this in our text chains and all this. Like I'm trying to figure out, hey, what's the deal? Why is the light coming on for him now? He just sees opportunity. I think, you know, Barron's playing a more corner. Barron's got a quiet spring because they know what he can do. The light's coming on because of opportunity. And that's usually that or money is the reason. Like I'm getting ready to go in the draft. I'm looking forward to see Jalen Gilbo. You know, he's always been a talented player. He came in, you know, the first month or two he was on campus. Everybody was talking about the talent he is. So that's an exciting development. You know, you want to see that guy. We don't need to see Jahde Barron. We know what he can do. Bring it on, Jalen. So,
yeah, give me a safety you want to see. I mean, you know who I want to see, Jelani McDonald. But give me a safety you want to see in this bunch.
Derek Williams. You know, I mean, I want to see him too. You know, I kind of led the charge on. You know, we took so much shrapnel talking about how good Taft played versus Baylor last year, and that's where I felt like, oh wow, this guy is actually probably the best safety in the program. I want to see him. Is he bigger and faster? Because, you know, he gets so much, he gets the, it's the backhand compliment where he's, you know, he's the coach on the field. You know, I want to see, is he bigger and faster? Because if he's bigger and faster, that's a pretty good player. You know, Jonah Williams was talking about him not too long about him. Like, you know, he's something to watch. So I do want to see, is he bigger and faster? Okay. You know, but also Derek Williams, because he's just a different talent back there. You know, size, speed, you know, this is like he's an NFL guy. He's a 3-year talent. Manny Muhammad, 3-year talent. Yeah. You know, Anthony Hill, 3-year talent. I want to see the 3-year talent guys play like it.
I don't want to see a little bit of Makuba. I want to see what Makuba looks like. I kind of want to see where you know, his versatility. I don't think we'll see a ton of him, but, you know, that remains to be seen. I'll tell you soon, someone else who's a coach on the field. He's also a coach in the courtroom. That's Andre the Lawyer. Listen, he's located in Dallas, Texas, and he helps out injured Longhorns with car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, wrongful deaths. Andre is a proud member at Vinside Texas, and if you're hearing this, he wants to help you. Give him a call at 214-444-8808. Andre the Lawyer, that's the guy you need. If you get stuck, Longhorns, give him a call. He's going to help you out. Andre the Lawyer at 214-444-8808. The best portion of the show is right now, and that's portal talk. Oh, because man, it's all portal right now. And something you had learned a few days ago, we knew about the defensive tackles. We knew that they're going to go after a handful. But you're hearing now that they may go for that BPA, a best player available. They're all in on this 2024 season. Yeah. They could be a little bit more active than we originally thought. What's the latest? And I'm talking Wild Bill Norton. I'm talking Jay Twow. I'm taking all these guys. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be super aggressive. You know, everybody, you know, Texas fans forever have had the fever dreams of a fully weaponized Texas. And I'm not going to say that they're going to get everybody they want, but they are being super aggressive. They understand that this year is a championship window. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, we wrote the other day, they might take three defensive tackles. I don't know if it's going to work out that way. But, you know, I feel good about Norton. I think Toya, they've got a good chance for him. The UCLA guy. Some people think he's the best defensive tackle in the portal, even outside of Dominic Williams. They're going to be on Dominic Williams. I mean, it's, you know, that's why I said earlier in the show that it doesn't matter to me what the run looked like, because it's going to look different in August. You know, they're bringing in guys. They understand the hole in the program. Yeah. They got to plug it. You know, that Sark inherited the best defense, the best position that Sark inherited was D tackle, and that's not what he still has. And so they've got to fix it. They're committed to fixing it. They think they can win a national championship this year, and they're going to go all in.
Guys, there's one other thing you need to know, and that's Posse East on Saturday, 2900 Duval Street. Come see us. Inside Texas is going to be there, rain or shine. After the scrimmage, we are going to be on hand. You're going to see Eric Nalin, Justin Wells, Joe Cook, a ton of Inside Texas members and fans. You're going to see probably some players, parents. You're going to see a good mixture of a group, and we're going to have a good time. Eric, what's one thing these fans need to expect from us in 24 hours on Duval Street?
Oh, man. You know, I mean, there's so many things that I can say in person that I can't say on YouTube or, you know, via text. Not yet. So if a question has been weighing on your mind for all these years, why didn't this player pan out? Why didn't, you know, me, Justin, we'll have those answers for you. Yeah. Come hang out. It's going to be a really good time. We'll, you know, we can be a lot more open in that setting than we can be here.
We designate that as happy hour material a lot of times. Yeah. And that's how we do it at Inside Texas. We roll with that happy hour material. That's what pays the bills. Thank you so much, viewers, for making us a part of your day and enjoying this edition of Inside the Program. We sure do appreciate it. We will see you on Saturday. And thank you again from the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.